Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
Well, we are, we started a series several weeks ago called Trigger Words. I had a lot of fun doing it. And last week we talked about peace, and today I want to talk about lessons that you've learned from childhood that you've carried into being an adult. Me and my brother have talked about this a lot of when you were a kid and you'd watch movies or you'd read cartoons or you would watch TV shows, like they sent the message to you as a kid that quicksand is a huge problem in this world. It was like every third movie there was some people getting trapped in quicksand. I'm like, what are we going to do? So as a kid, you hold that to be true because you trust everyone. And when I got a little bit older and I realized not a lot of quicksand, a 3-to-1 ratio is not a fair representation, I was disappointed because I put a lot of time into thinking, if I see quicksand, what should I do? If I'm in it, what should I do? If my dog's in it, what should I do? And it turns out it's just not a thing in Carlton, Minnesota. So, but then also when you're a kid, no one needs to teach you to be afraid of the dark, right? It's not like your dad sits you down and like, all right, 2-year-old, when the lights go out, you have to run as fast as possible to get to that light switch. When I was a kid, down in the basement, because that's where my mom put me, all my other siblings got to be in the nice, beautiful places, but my mom just put me in the cold, dark basement. And but mom, I did hard things, look at me now. So those listening to the podcast, this is a joke, my mom's in the front row. So on the podcast, we're like, his mom's a horrible person. So I'd be in the basement, and if the hallway light was off, and there was a light from the upstairs where the beautiful people lived, if that got turned off, the door was shut, I would have to be in this back room, and if I turned the light off, it would be dark all the way up to stairs. And I remember as a little kid, like standing there looking at the bedroom, but looking in the hallway and like hit the light off and it's like, poof, darkness. And I would run as fast as I could. And I'd hit those brown painted stairs. And I can still feel like the coldness on them, the coolness on them. Because when you're a kid, you run upstairs like this, right? All 4 of your arms and legs. All 2 of your arms and legs. Anyways. And you'd get upstairs. And I remember and I'd open that door and there'd be light, and I felt like I was okay. As I got older, even as like a 11, 12-year-old, I would still be down there, and instead of like running, I was like, I'm cool, and I'm gonna walk briskly with my heart racing like I'm gonna have a heart attack, right? And I was still afraid of the dark, and this is a very common thing, and why? Well, we could take maybe science and think at some point as a human race, our ancestors probably didn't want to go out at night because there would be a bear that would eat them, all right? And they wanted to avoid being eaten as much as possible. But this darkness, as you get older, it can still have this mystery, but there's something about light. There's something about light that makes us feel alive. Something about light that makes us feel right? Like you can take like February Chris, and it's like I'm Steve Urkel. Who knows who Steve Urkel is from Family Matters? Oh, this is my people, that's right. We're with you, brother. Do you remember like Steve Urkel in the show was the neighborhood kid who was incredibly brilliant, but didn't really fit into most social systems, so he got mocked. Right? I refuse to use that word that we attribute to those kind of people. But, right, and they mocked him, and he'd walk around, he's like, did I do that? That was his tagline. But then he could transform through a machine or a drink or a fog. I don't remember. He would turn into Stefan Urkel. Who remembers Stefan Urkel? All of a sudden, he was like hip with it and cool. Michael, you're laughing a little too hard at that. So, and I feel like February is I'm Steve Urkel, and like July, I'm Stefan Urkel, all right? Because the light makes a huge difference in my attitude, in the color, how many freckles I have, all right? And it feels good. Today I want to talk about light. And I've been reading the creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed for the last several weeks. as a way of meditating and as a way of taking something that was written like 350 AD, right? I think the last adaptation was right around late 400s, 500s. But this is something that people have been reading in the church for a long time. And I like the sacredness of an old truth. And there's a line in there that you're going to hear, but this is what it says. This is the very beginning of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. And that line, light from light, has like kind of robbed my heart of this concept of this Jesus, this Messiah, this Christ, is not just this like separate piece of the puzzle. It's like what was true then is still true now. Begotten from God, like as truly God, so we see in Jesus truly God. The light that has always been is right in front of this light. And I picture like this beam of light that goes through, and it's always been. And that light moves me. And we see in the Gospel of John, John uses this concept of lightness and dark over and over and over. And what I'd like to do is talk about this Christ and this light. And I'm going to read probably literally a couple 13, 14 verses from John. And instead of throwing it up there, you can read if you want on your smartphone, or you can if you have a Bible. If you don't own a Bible and you want one, I haven't said this forever, you can steal from the church. This is like appropriate, right? We have Bibles in the back that we provide. So if you want to make sure I'm not making things up, or you can keep that and take it home, right? Because we have more. So. But I want you to read, and I want you to be in the moment, and there, what words like pop out to you, what words somehow form meaning from you. And I believe that when we wrap up, whatever you felt was stood out to you is going to have some significance to you at the end. John 1, starting in verse 1. The Word was first, the Word present to God, God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and darkness could not put it out. There was once a man, his name John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing, and every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world, and the world was there through him, and yet the world did not even notice. He came to his own people, but they did not want him. Whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed, would do what he said. He made their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten. Not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And we saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from his start to finish. I love that. And John frames this from verses 1 through 14, and he starts with this concept of the Word, right? He uses the Word a lot. And N.T. Wright, who's a theologian and author, and he's wonderful, he hits on two things here of word and light. For the Word, he says his audience, because remember that when John wrote this, I doubt thinking of like Chris in Cloquet, Minnesota, he wrote this of what was true and what he saw and what he wanted to communicate to the people around him. And little, maybe he did know, we don't know, but like that is a timeless truth that he spoke to us today to point us to this light. But the original audience would have heard this, would have understood when he starts by saying this Word, because these people would have known this story of Genesis incredibly well. This is something that they were told by their parents and their grandparents, and they read and they celebrated, even danced with. And that is, in the beginning was the Word, is how Genesis starts. And this word, like the Spirit, this word, like, is hovering over this mass, over this place. And all of a sudden, the word speaks of let there be light. And there is light. And this word speaks to let there be plants and let there be fish and birds. I was going to say birds in the sea, right? Chicken of the sea. And let there be humans. And what does this word say? What does this God say? It is good. And now John is saying the same thing. Here comes the word. All things created through this word. And it says the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. So there would have been like what was true then and what we've held onto would start stirring a little bit of like, whoa, wait a second. This word that started, this word is now here. And a second group of people that would have heard this, N.T. writes on, there was this group of people that believed that there was this word that was in the cosmos, this word that lived in the earth, and this word that even like resided inside of you. And if you could like control this word, if you could like capture the total essence of this word, then you would be able to understand what the purpose of life is, right? And what John is saying, and the word became flesh. He's saying, yeah, it could be out there. It is out there. It's in the ground. It is in you. But where it comes from and where it is right in front of you. It is not this such a big cosmic leap to see that maybe it's not as complex because it is at your doorstep. And this word is inviting you to sit and to dine. So then John goes on over and over and over again on the light. And he says, what came into existence was life, and the life was the light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness could not pull it out. Something I would encourage you to do if you never have, and I'm never going to on stage like, you guys should be reading your Bible more. I'm not going to like, you know, shame you. That's not how I operate. But if I could encourage you, if you've never done this before, is to read the book of John in one sitting. Like take some time. It might take you a half hour. It might take an hour. It took me about 90 minutes because I would cry a lot. Imagine that, right? But read through it once. And what you're going to see is John using this word light and darkness, and be aware of when the light shows up. When he uses the word light, what is happening around it? And we're going to be talking about three things. First one is this. The light brings life. Light brings life. We could talk about science and photosynthesis. We could talk again about Steve Urkel and Steve Urkel, or Stefan, right? But really, like, we are made to experience the sun. We are made to experience this light. And I was driving to Duluth just this past week, and It's been a very hard, stressful couple of weeks. There's days I'm here, and then there's days I'm here, and I'm driving into Duluth, and I'm coming up over the Proctor Hill, and all of a sudden the sun breaks out from the clouds, and I could feel, you know how you can just like feel the sun? And you're like, ooh, that feels good. Like I feel it hit my hands on the steering wheel, and it just like scrolled up onto my face, and I had this like holy moment. Like I really do believe that God shows up through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, I experience God. And I've learned that when I feel that, when I recognize that, like I want to speak to it. I talk about this often. And so I think praying out loud can be a powerful thing. In a car, doing it in Aldi might be a little different, right? But you do you, Lori, you do you. So, and I out loud said, God, I receive this light. Today I receive this light. And I said out loud, I know tomorrow could be more pain, next week more pain, next year more pain, but today I receive this light. And I felt the presence of God like fill me up. And it was like, oh, life is not meant just to be easy. Life is not meant just to avoid pain. It's through pain that we grow and are transformed and get clear. But even in the midst, there's going to be pockets of this promise that Jesus says, everything I have is yours and I'm with you always. And that is what Jesus does, is brings light. He brings life. And it's interesting, and Johnny says that he showed up to this world and people didn't even really want him. They didn't even see him. If you watch, when Jesus walks around, and when the light comes, or where the darkness is usually with the least and the last. The establishment, right? Those who had the power, they were good, but they didn't really see Jesus for who Jesus was. They actually saw Jesus as a threat to their power, right? This would have been the religious elite, the religious insiders. But it's interesting, when people talk about, hey, who did Jesus go and dine with? We usually use the word, sometimes we use the word sinners. Right? Jesus sat at the table with sinners. But it's interesting, we've used that word, or where the darkness is, John uses it, those people did not sign up to be in the darkness. Right? These weren't all people doing child sacrifices every day. These weren't people like stabbing everyone. These weren't people, like they weren't all, not all the women were prostitutes. Why do we attribute darkness to that? Is because the establishment said, you're not in. The people on the least and the last and the margins, Jesus went there because they were moved out because they were sick or unable bodies. Or because they didn't have the right bloodline. They didn't have enough money to get into this part of the temple. Like where they, the story of Jesus shows up at the temple, if you read this before, he starts flipping tables over. Right? It wasn't just Jesus saying like, I'm angry. Oh, I have to work out my emotions. Right? I don't know if this is healthy. That's not what he's doing. What he's saying is, you're taking up the space to make money off the people who are outside. This is the only place they can come to be inside of this temple, to be close enough to hear and to smell, to literally smell the presence of God with all these fires and sacrifices. Jesus is saying, those who you deem out, those who you deem in the darkness, those you deem be pushed the margin, Jesus says, that's where the light shows up. And if you watch when Jesus shows up, the light explodes. There's healings, there's transformations. They talk about there's of demons standing up against Jesus, and Jesus says, nope, that's not how we're doing things. And light is exploding all over to the very people that said, I don't matter. I don't get to be in. And Jesus stands with them and says, you are loved. So here's my question. Where do you in your life, we're going to start here and we're going to end up somewhere else. Where do you feel that darkness in your life? And it could be darkness as some hidden sin, or like, yes, that's true. For me, darkness is not so much some hidden sin. For me, mostly darkness is things that I have made true about myself. Things where it is hard, things where it is difficult, places where I feel like I am unlovable. All right, anyone else there, right? Like, where am I allowing that darkness to define who I am? Because when Jesus showed up, he said, pick up your mat and walk, because in you is life, because the light has come. Second thing is, where's the darkness around us? Right? If the darkness was not something that these people signed up for, like, hey, I'm a big fan of the darkness, right? They didn't have access. Where are the people in your workplace? Right? And it could be a demographic of people. It could be like Susie from accounting that everyone makes fun of. Whew. I was at a restaurant, and it was karaoke night, and there was a group of these three people, and someone was about to walk up, and they literally went like this. They're like, tap, 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 boom, point. And whatever this person was or was about to do, somehow they knew, and they already threw darkness at that person. Right? Have you been there before? It's like people still, humans, we still do this? Adults? It could be that the black sheep of your family, you could be the black sheep of your family, like, I'd like some light, right? And it could be demographics of people. It could be a whole group of people that we say, you are less than just for who you are. And the thing is, friends, this is where Jesus lives, because that is where the light is needed. And it was available to the establishment. It was available to all. But why were these people the one who say, Father, I need you. Jesus, can you hear me? Jesus, will you heal my daughter? Begging, because they knew Something about this light is something that they were born for. And Jesus says, and you were. Come and receive the goodness. The light also reveals not just that there's life, it reveals things for what they really are. Right? Reveals things for what they really are. I remember driving into the mountains, and we drove in the middle of the night because the flight was really late. We hopped in a van, we're driving, and it was like beautiful sky, and I could see that there was like really narrow roads. We saw an elk, that was really cool. And you could see that there was like the sky, and you could see like where the mountains began, like the sky began and end, and it was just like a black mass, and you're like, wow, that's really big. I like that. And I woke up in the morning, got a cup of coffee, because I'm not a psychopath, and I step outside, and I look out, and all of a sudden, there's the blue sky, and then the complexity and the richness of all the color, right? And I could see the big field, and I could see the trees and the grass. It was overwhelming. And this is when Jesus shows up. He shows the complexity and the beauty and the richness of what is true. All right, My friend Brenda Gatlin taught me a long time, saying, we're going to get things into the light. We're going to get things so you can see the truth of what it is. Because once it's in the light, all the power that you've attributed to it, all the power you've given to it, dissipates. Because darkness, we let assumptions. In the darkness, we let fear. In the darkness, we can put that on the shelf and say, give it way more power and meaning than it actually is. Have you done this before? Right? It's easy for me to get to a place of like, I'll always be like a third-rate pastor. I'll always be like a third-rate dad, right? And it's like, because in the darkness, some things that I've said, some mistakes that I've made, I just put on the shelf and saying, I guess this has to be true. Or it might be, I will always be 10 pounds overweight. I will never be on the inside group of this circle of friends. I will always never get that spot at the table. And we hold on. Or that thing that I said will define me for the rest of my life. That thing that that person did to me, I'm going to let that define me for the rest of my life. And when we put it on the shelf, we just let that have the power. And what Jesus does, he shows up. Not only does he bring life, he begins to reveal the truth of what it looks like to be in this kingdom of God. Where he goes, it's not about of when you're at this temple and how we worship, and there's a story of someone who comes and brings all this money, and this woman comes and throws in two little coins. And Jesus says, right there is the heart of God. Out of generosity. It's not about you have all the power, you have all the inside. It's not even if you have all the privilege. You say, what are you going to do with that? When people say, well, what should I do to get into the kingdom of God? He says, love the Lord your God with absolutely every single thing you have. And then next, love your neighbor as yourself. He tells stories of the parable where the guy gets beat up and robbed and thrown on the side of the road, and the two priests come by, part of the establishment comes by, and they choose to be right, they choose to be holy, they choose to be clean over helping and getting low. And who comes up, if you remember this parable? It's literally his enemy. It's literally the people that they oppress and they look down on and they mock. He shows up and picks them up and gets dirty, gets blood on his hands, and brings them to a place and feeds them and gives money and says, and I'm going to check back in. And Jesus saying, that is the kingdom of God. Because the thing that they made true is if I am dirty, I am less than. And this guy shows up and Jesus says, what it looks like to be healthy and to flourish and be a good and beautiful life is to love the least and the last. Like, he does this over and over and over again. So in a little bit, we're going to take time to pray for one another. Where there's some things that you have, like, kept on that shelf. Here's a great story. I remember being in college, and my friends would be like, hey, and we went to Bible college, so my college experience might have been a little different for you. It wasn't like, hey, let's go get beer and pizza. We were like, let's go to a coffee shop and try a new chai latte. Right? That was me, right? I was that kid. And so I'd go, and I needed money from the ATM, and I remember going and putting my card in, and I'm punching in my code, and it says, how much money do you want? I'm like, none. But I hit 20, and it was like I'm playing the lottery. Anyone have been there before? And it's like, hit 20, and I kind of close my eyes and wait, and either the receipt's going to come out and saying, hey, you have no money, or that $20 bill comes out, and I got the $20 bill. I'm like, yeah, it's chai lattes. So, but I attached fear, because I want to stay in the dark of how much money I really had, because I didn't want to have to deal with the work and the shame of my spending habits when I was in college. No, not like today. I'm really healthy. But, right? But back then, I remember feeling actual fear, and ignorance is bliss. Darkness can make us feel good enough because we don't want to deal with it. But if you've ever done anything hard, and you have to take the way that you eat, the way that you work out, the way you spend money, the way that you treat your spouse, the way you treat your friends, the way you view God, and you have to bring that into the light and allow God speak to it, allow the Bible speak to it, allow the Holy Spirit speak, allow the community of collection of saints speak to it, it's hard. But I can tell you it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So here's where I end. I end with, I got to read it. Can you put the next one up here? Light brings things into the fullness of who I am. It doesn't really make sense. And Bree, who does all our graphic design, actually texted me and said, did you really want to say that? I'm like, yeah, of course I'm going to say it. And then it wasn't until like about 24 hours later, I'm like, oh yeah, that doesn't make sense. And that's how it works. Really, what I'm trying to get at is the light really shows me the reality of who I am. And it's very simple, because I already alluded to it. If life, the light brings life, and the light can expose the darkness and rob and break away the power that you've given some of those things you've attached meaning to, and you can see the truth of what it is, then what you revealed of who you really are at the deepest part of you is loved. It is that simple. The deepest part at the core of who you are is loved. And it's a simple message. But I need people like hit me upside the head often of it, because I go back to the dark. I go back to my scars. I go back to the things that people say to me and about me directly and indirectly. And I go back and said, yeah, I guess that is right. I guess that is who I am. And if I live at that place, if we live at that place where we go back into the darkness, darkness wins. Who we are as kingdom people, who we are as Jesus-looking people, is that we are fierce. And with confidence and humbleness, we step into that light and we allow God to say to us, you are loved. So what I'd like you to do is stand, and we're going to pray. So as I pray, and let me say this, why we pray, is we pray that God actually wants to come and not just like bring something to our mind, but God wants to actually do the good work in us and through us. And so as I pray, maybe there's something like I wrote down, you're here and you need that light, whatever that means to you, you need that light. Maybe there's something that you've put on the shelf, that darkness you feel like is robbing you of experiencing life. Or you feel like you have that, you want to step into the light and help others step into the light. Wherever you're at with that, as I pray and you need that, you receive that however you want. For me, and I love talking about this, for me, I simply open my hand as a way of saying, today, God, like I said that prayer in the car, God, now, today, I receive that light. Tomorrow could be pain, tomorrow could be hard, but right now, I receive that truth. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, will you come? And I thank you that even just like talking about the light, even just reading John 1, it's like it feels right. Because that is heaven. That is heaven breaking into the now, into the present, into my life, into my friend's life here. So I ask, God, that you would come and bring your light and you would help us be able to see the reality of who you are and who we are. And I thank you that the darkness cannot overwhelm the light. There's times it feels like the darkness does overwhelm us, but the light always wins. And sometimes we lean into the light, sometimes we run to the light, and sometimes I feel like I'm being dragged into the light. All of it I want. So will you be with my friends? And anything that we've put on the shelf that we've let rule or dictate or influence our life out of fear, anxiety, or shame, or maybe even ignorance. We don't want to let the darkness have power over us anymore. So that specific thing that you're thinking of, that specific thing that you're feeling, Holy Spirit, will you come and meet my friends? And in the fullness of the light, they can see, oh, that is a lie. That is not true. And give us what we need to do that again and again. And I pray for my friends who don't feel loved. God, will you come and let your light shine? And we love you. Amen. So we're going to worship for a little bit. We have some people who take time to pray for people, if that's something that you'd like. And there's two things, and I already said them. You can get prayer for anything, right? You got a cold sore, you got some happening in your relationship. I'm not comparing what's going on in your marriage to a cold sore, sorry. But anything you want, you can get prayer for. But there's two things that were highlighted. You need that light. And that's what I felt God say, is just you need that light. You want that in any category. The second one is this, and this is like a deep one, is that you feel the need to confess. And we did this last week, and I don't know why, but you feel this need to confess maybe something that you did, something that you believed, something that you thought, or something that was done to you. And for me, when I can get together either with my professional mental health worker, with my partner, or with my friend, and I say, I believe this to be true, or I thought this, or I did this, instantly that power dissipates because it breaks the power. You want that, the people up here would love to pray for you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thank you for coming.